Matthew chapter 2, I want to draw your attention to the portion quickly. But in verses 1 and 2, we have pretty much a summary of what I wish to consider tonight. Verses 1 and 2, and we read, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." I heard of a birthday party which was held for a child for wealthy parents. The guests, they were arriving by the truckload, and as they were arriving, they gave their scarves and their coats to the mother of the child. She naturally did the usual thing. She hung them on the wardrobe, but she found very quickly, because there were so many guests coming, she had to go upstairs and fling all of the coats and scarves on beds in the house. The party was now well underway. It was in full swing. But then one of the guests asked a very sobering question. The question was this: "Where's the birthday boy? We are celebrating the birth of your son. Where is the birthday boy?" The mother responded, "Well, my child, he's safe in his room." The guests, of course, they were gathered for the birthday of that son. They naturally wanted to see him. They naturally wanted to see the child whose birth they were celebrating. And as the mother walked up the stairs to find her child in his room, she sadly found him fighting for breath as he was struggling under the swarms of coats and scarves that she had thrown on him. You see, the guests, they had become so wrapped up in the celebration, the commotion of the party for the child, that they forgot all about the actual child that the celebration was for. And let's be honest with ourselves, folks. Sometimes we can do that at Christmas time, can't we? We can get so wrapped up in the celebration, the commotion about the child, that we actually smother the child Jesus out of Christmas altogether. You see, how we react to the child Jesus at Christmas is very, very important. This child, of course, he's no ordinary child that we react to. He is the sovereign, the saviour, the Son of God. And this has already been played out for us in our readings this evening. The first three readings, we have understood that the Son of God, he was predicted. That the prophets, they predicted certain details about his birth. And these details, they were literally fulfilled in the life and birth of Jesus. For example, the Bible prophesied that he would be virgin born, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be from the line of Judah. And yes, guess what? That's exactly what happened. We have understood the predictions of the Son, but we also tonight had understood the functions of the Son. You see, he came for two main reasons. He came, as was read, he came to be the Savior of the world. He shall save his people from their sins. But he also came to be the governor of his people. He became the ruler of his kingdom. And of course, when he was born, and even now, he still was and is both of those things. So having understood the predictions of the Savior's birth and the functions of the Savior's birth, tonight I want to look very simply at how we react, or the reactions to the Savior's birth. You see, in this passage we read, there were three different reactions to the Savior's birth. It's not merely to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. It's how we answer to the birth of Christ. It's not so much a knowledge of the birth of Christ, a knowledge of the facts, a knowledge of the figures, a knowledge even of what he came to do. But it's how we react to it. It's important. And I wonder, how will you react? How will you react to the Savior's birth? At this Christmas time, will you smother out the child, as it were? Or will you worship the child? How will you react to the Savior's birth? Reactions to the Savior's birth. There were three reactions, I believe, in the passage that we read that I want to leave with you tonight. Notice here the first reaction. The reaction of the king, annihilation. The reaction of the king, annihilation. In verse 3 we read, "When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Verse 16 also, Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. This king Herod, he was known as Herod the Great, and he was the king at the time of Jesus' birth. He was the king of a province in Judea, in Israel. Of course, this province, Judea, it was under the rulership of Caesar Augustus at Rome. So really, King Herod, he answered to Caesar in Rome. And at this time, as Christ was born, Herod, he had been ruling Judea for some 34 years. He was known as Herod the Great, not because he was a great man in his character, but he was known as Herod the Great because he was great at winning wars. He was a very cruel king and a very callous king. But history tells us that he took the kingdom of Judea by force. He was very cruel. He essentially beat the people into submission. History also tells us that he murdered several of his sons when he was worried that they would come and steal the throne from him. Is it any wonder then that as the wise men, as they made this journey to Jerusalem, and they came to this king, and they followed this star all the way to Judea, and they came to King Herod, and they asked about this new king of the Jews. Is it any wonder then Herod feared for his position? In verse 3 we read, when Herod heard the king, when he heard these things, he was troubled. The word troubled here in the original, it refers to an object that is thrown to and fro. And Herod here, as he heard of this coming king, as he heard of the coming of the king of the Jews, it was like something was being jiggled about, like something in his mind was being thrown about. He was troubled. He was agitated. He feared for his position, as I have said. And so what did he do as he was worried about this coming king? Well, he tried to do everything that he could to annihilate and exterminate this new king. He tried simply to kill Jesus Christ by killing all of the children in Bethlehem, aged 2 and under. You see, his agitation concerning the child Jesus led him to try and annihilate the child Jesus Christ. And whilst agitation about Christ is a good thing, it can also sometimes be a bad thing. I wonder tonight, are you agitated? Is the preaching of Jesus Christ, has it got you worried? Has it got you anxious? Yes, well, this is a good thing. You can sometimes, when you're worried, you're anxious, you can consider the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But other times, like Herod, you can try and kill him. Not literally kill him, but spiritually kill him. Kill him in the sense that you kill or you try to annihilate his influence in your life. I wonder, like Herod, can I ask you a very pointed question? Do you hate Jesus Christ? Do you hate Christ? Do you hate his influence in your life? So much so that you wish to execute him, exterminate him, and annihilate him from your life. Is the preaching of Christ, the coming of Christ, as you thought about it at Christmas time, the one who came to be your Savior, is it causing you to be worried, having this reaction of being worried? Indeed, in speaking of the hatred that men and women have for Christ, he said to his disciples in John 15, verse 25, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." And Christ here, he's speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to his disciples about how his enemies felt about him. And what did he say about his enemies? He said very simply that they hated him without a cause. They hated him, and they didn't even have a reason for hating him. You see, while sinners are passive towards Christ, there are other sinners who are aggressive towards Christ. There are some who, like Herod, they are aggressive, they are antagonistic, they're angry, and they wish to exterminate his influence from their life. I wonder, is this how you react? As you've thought about the Christmas message, the message of Christ coming, being born in the manger, of course, eventually going to the cross and dying for your sin, I wonder, is it causing you to be anxious, anxious so much so that you try to annihilate the Lord Jesus, try to tell him to stop speaking to you, try to tell him to stop warning you, try to quell his influences in your life. I wonder, is this you? Are you like Herod? You know, as I was preparing this, I read a tragic story on the internet. In May of this year, ISIS, they went to a beach in Libya, and they lined up six Ethiopian Christians, and in an instant they brutally massacred all of those Christians. Whenever they described why they did it, they being Muslims, of course, they simply stated, well, we did this because they were followers of the cross from an enemy church. And their hatred for Christ drove them to annihilate and exterminate believers. And that is a very tragic thing. A very, very tragic thing. But I suggest to you that if you're not in Christ and you're just like Herod, you're guilty essentially of committing the same crime. You're guilty of trying to annihilate Christ's influence in your life. The reaction of the king, annihilation. Notice the second reaction here, the reaction of the scribes, apathy. The reaction of the scribes, apathy. In verse 5 and 6 we read, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. Whenever Herod heard of this coming king, he was absolutely terrified. So he went to the chief priests and the scribes to find out more about this coming king. The chief priests, they were in charge of the temple worship, and they were the men who gave themselves to the study of the Old Testament. They were religious leaders of Israel, and so who better to go to than to come to these religious leaders? Herod here, he was in good company. He wanted to know more about this king, so he came to the men with the answer. And when Herod went to them, they simply told the king everything, every little detail concerning Christ's birth. Herod came to these men looking for answers, and he got what he wanted. They simply replied when asked where Christ would be born, Bethlehem of Judea. And in quoting Micah 5, verse 2, it seems that they quoted this verse from memory. They didn't even need to look it up. There's no reference to them turning the pages of the Bible and looking it up. They obviously had a very, very good knowledge of their Old Testament. Yet for all of their knowledge of the Savior's birth, they sadly didn't take a personal interest about the Savior's birth. They knew all the details. They knew where he was going to be born. They knew the timing of the event. They could take you to the very place. But sadly, they didn't make the journey themselves. They didn't go to worship him for themselves. You see, while some sinners like Herod are aggressive, there are other sinners like the chief priests, and they're passive. They are passive, in the sense that they know all about the Savior's birth, know all about his substitutionary death, know all about his victorious coming again, and yet they do absolutely nothing about it. I wonder, am I describing you? I wonder tonight, are you an old scribe, as it were? I wonder if I was to ask you, where was Christ born? I'm sure you'd be able to give me the answer. You'd be able to shout out, Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. And you could tell me where he was born. You could tell me many details about his birth, his death, and so on. But, like the scribes, you don't have a personal relationship with him. You haven't, as it were, made that journey. You're not personally worshipping him. You're not coming before him and adoring him. Indeed, in Matthew 15, the Lord Jesus, he condemned the scribes and the Pharisees, and condemning them, he said in verses 7 and 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he said, the scribes, the Pharisees, they knew all about Christ, they knew the right way to approach Christ, yet they were far from Christ in their hearts. You see, it's one thing to know about Christ generally, it's another thing to know Christ savingly. And tonight you can know all about him, yet never do anything with him. I wonder, is this you? I wonder, like the scribes, do Do you know the details? You know the intricate details? Perhaps like the scribes, you could even quote to me the Old Testament. And you sadly, you're reacting just like them. You're reacting apathetically. You know all the truth, but quite frankly, it hasn't made an impact. It hasn't made an impact upon your life. There was the reaction of the king, annihilation. The reaction of the scribes, apathy. But notice thirdly, the reaction of the wise men, adoration. In verses 10 and 11, we read about their worship. And we read, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These wise men, or magi as they're sometimes known, they weren't content with the mere knowledge about where Christ was born. Quite frankly, they had to see for themselves. Now, this is not to be underestimated, for they were from the east, they were from Babylon, and they made this long, this costly journey to the king. They were also very unlikely candidates to be a worshipper of Christ. Babylon was a very pagan place. You read about it in the Old Testament, you discover that it was an extremely pagan place, and it was no different in the time of Christ. They had their own kings, they had their own gods. Yet they came from Babylon to worship this new king of the Jews. Also remember that they could have waited. They didn't have to come immediately. They could have waited till this king was grown a little bit and then paid their homage and their adoration. Matthew Henry draws attention to this when he said, concerning these wise men, they might have said, if such a prince be born, we shall hear of him shortly in our own country. And it will be time enough then to pay our homage to him. They could have waited till he was grown up, till he was a young adult. They could have even waited till he ascended the throne. But no, they didn't. They made that long journey and they eventually arrived at Mary's house following a star. And as they arrived into Mary's house, as I said this morning, probably making a 600-mile journey, taking them approximately 9 months, verse 11 tells us that they fell down and they worshipped him. They fell down and they worshipped him. Here's pagans making a huge journey. And when they saw this king, who was just, remember, a child, yet they fell down. They fell down and they worshipped this king. And as well as giving presents at Christmas, we should also render our praise at Christmas. Like the wise men, we should render our praise, our adoration to Christ, our King. I wonder, like the wise men, are we prepared to make the long, the costly journey to worship Christ this Christmas? You know, it's so easy to be smothered in the trappings of Christmas and forget that we are engaged in the worship of the one who Christmas is about. I wonder, will we be like Mary, who, when she found out she was with child and that the Saviour was going to be born, and we read in Luke 1, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. Whenever she found out who she was carrying, what did she do? She sang a song. She sang a song of worship and adoration and praise to the coming King. And this Christmas, as well as singing songs around the fire, let's sing the song of the Saviour. Let's magnify Christ, the one who came, the one who was born, the one who lived, and the one who eventually died on our behalf. Let's be like the wise men. Let's react positively at Christmas as we think about the Saviour's birth. You know, a missionary was leaving the area that she had laboured in for many years, and the nationals, they decided that they would have a special service to mark her faithfulness. The news had spread really far and really wide, and there were some who travelled many, many miles by foot just to come to this service. At the event, there was one man who was saved through the missionary's labours, and he had actually walked 4 days to the meeting. And as he came to the meeting, walking this long journey, He simply gave the woman all that he could. He gave her 2 coconuts. And when the missionary heard that he had made such a journey and gave her these things, she said, "Brother, I can't believe you would walk so far to present me with this gift. And this Christmas, like the wise men, let us bring our gifts of praise and worship to Christ. Let's, like the wise men, fall at the Saviour's feet and worship him for who he is." Reactions to the Saviour's birth. I wonder which camp and which category do you fall into? Do you react like Herod, annihilation? Do you react like the scribes, apathy? Or like the wise men, will you react with adoration towards Christ this Christmas? May God bless his word to your hearts and minds tonight.